Welcome to Smart in the City, the Babble podcast where we bring together top actors in the smart city arena, sparking dialogues and interactions around the stakeholders and themes most prevalent for today's citizens and tomorrow's generations. I am your host, Tamlin Shimizu, and I hope you will enjoy this episode and gain knowledge and connections to accelerate the change for a better urban life. Smart in the City is brought to you by Babble Smart Cities. We enable processes from research and strategy development to co-creation and implementation. To learn more about us, please visit the Babble platform at babble-smartcities.eu. So if you know Babble, you might have heard us actually mention Urban Shark Tank before, which is a dynamic session that we facilitate on the main stages of events across Europe. And it's all about replication. So which is, of course, a key goal of the podcast as well. So bringing to life the projects and lessons learned that will help accelerate implementation of the projects. So today we're actually diving into one of the projects with one of our winners of Urban Shark Tank, Karos Mobility. And so from Karos, I have with me today Peter Ball. He's the International Project Manager. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, pleasure to have you. And with him today, he brought along their project partner from the public sector side. It's Juan Carlos Escudero. He's the head of mobility and data science at the Vitoria Gasteiz Center, which is a public agency owned by the city of Vitoria. Welcome, Juan Carlos.
Hi, Tainlin. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, absolutely a pleasure to see you. I was telling also Peter before too that we've actually ran into each other quite a lot before, so I'm really excited now to learn more about one of your projects. So before we get into that project, I like to start us off with a bit of a teaser question to just get the ball rolling. So for each of you, you will have three emojis to use, and you have to describe the impact of AI-driven carpooling with three emojis. So, Peter, you want to start?
Yeah, sure. I think there is an emoji that might be a group of people, and I think community is one of the best aspects of carpooling. In terms of who we target and how the product rolls out, we target people in suburban and rural areas that, you know, might not live in those high density city cores with all the trains and the bike routes to get to where they need to go. And what carpooling does is it connects people in communities to get to where they need to go. So establishes relationships, connections, and helps people to get to work. So that's my one emoji. Okay. My other two, or do one each, and then
do one each sounds good. Okay. Juan Carlos, do you have one?
Yeah, it's more or less the same, but I'll choose the handshake emoji. Yeah, because I think it represents cooperation, shared responsibility, sense of community, and I choose this one.
Yeah, handshake sounds good. Good. Back to you, Peter.
Okay, my second emoji to lock in will actually be the money with wings on it.
It's a good one.
But actually not necessarily in a sense of making lots of money, but more from an equity perspective. So what carpooling does is, you know, it's not necessarily the most glamorous way of making lots of money, but we're not hiring private drivers, but what we're trying to do is make access to work and making access to transport more equitable. So we allow people to sort of discover a new mode of public transport that allows to get them around in a cost-effective way and to save money for their car registration, for their petrol costs, and to get around together rather than on their own burdening all the costs by themselves.
Very good choice. To you, Juan Carlos.
Yeah, well, my second emoji could be the globe, no? The globe emoji. That symbolizes the positive impact of the AI carpooling to mitigate air pollution, congestion, and greenhouse gas emissions that are the commitments of the city.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Okay, last ones to lock in, as Peter said.
Okay, last one for me. It would be some sort of green leaf, maybe, to similar to what Juan just said. You know, moving around to represent sustainability and reduction of emissions. And, you know, I think the role that AI has to play in really trying to accelerate the way that we are moving towards a net zero future and we're trying to decarbonize transports. I think the AI element of this is really trying to decrease single occupancy vehicles, to decrease congestion, and to decrease emissions for individuals and for cities and for communities. So something green.
Green leaves, like the wind green leaves coming down. That's one.
It. Yeah.
Juan Carlos?
Yeah, the last one, yeah, could be the car emoji, no? Because it represents what is the target of the pilot. They need to optimize the use of a private car by enabling multiple users to share rides in a single car. And that's the final target, trying to optimize and to provide alternatives, modes of using the car for the people.
Yeah, sounds good. So yeah, thanks for playing it with me. We'll play a little bit more also later on, but now I want to really learn more about you and the project. So maybe we can start with you, Juan Carlos. What is your background? Tell us a little bit about you and what led you into your position and role today.
Yeah, I have a university degree in technical biology by the Basque Country University. But I've worked for the Environmental Studies Center here in Vitoria as a urban environmental planner for more than 30 years, responsible for implementing and promoting innovative strategies in sustainable urban planning, environmental information, and urban mobility. That's my background.
Very interesting. Yeah, 30 years. Wow. You must really love it. Yeah, really? Cool. Peter, what's your background?
Yeah, great question. So as you can maybe tell from my accent, I'm originally from Australia, where I grew up and studied. And so studies, I was at university for a little while. I have 2 degrees, one in engineering, where I specialized in transport, another degree in liberal arts, where I specialized in human rights and political philosophy. And for, I guess, the first few years of my career, I've been working at what I like to think is the intersection between engineering and design and policy and social causes. And that's how I found myself working in transport. I started my career working in government and in rail development and network strategy, and then a couple years working in micromobility, working as I guess an urbanist with electric scooters and electric bikes. So I've worked in both the startup space and the government space. And I guess my mission has always been to work towards more sustainable and equitable transport for cities and for people, through the lens of engineering and policy.
Really, also very interesting background. So yeah, nice to get to know both of you a little bit more. Now I want to get to know the project. And so I don't know if who wants to start here on sharing and explaining a little bit about just the background of the project. How did it get started? What's the goal of it? And what's really the challenge that it's solving? Is it better to go to start with Peter or Juan Carlos for that one?
Maybe one as the city lead, I think would be good too.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, what is true is that what is important is to highlight that almost 75% of the energy used by our cars is used to transport empty seats in our cities, no? And mm-hmm. Here in Vitoria, that is an industrial city, we have every day nearly 40,000 people commuting every day to the industrial areas. And the reality is that according to the data, we have the majority of the people using the private car are traveling alone using their own car. In the industrial areas that are near to the city, more or less half of the people are traveling this way, but to other industrial areas, this figure rises up to 80%. So that's really a target to be solved. If we want to reduce of CO2 emissions and to fulfill what are our target in energy efficiency here in the city.
Yeah, really good explanation of the challenge. Maybe Peter, you can elaborate on what is the solution then that's helping to solve that challenge.
Yeah, fantastic. So it was really great for Juan Carlos to sort of set the scene in terms of the significance of transport in contributing to global emissions. And we were really lucky to discover Vitoria-Gasteiz as an incredible place to start this pilot project for some of the reasons that were mentioned. You know, it's an industrial city, one of the most significant industrial cities in Spain, where due to that very nature, a lot of the workplaces are not in the center of the city. They were further away. And when we try to identify a city for our operations, we're looking for cities and for regions that have an unmet need for greater public transport services. And usually what that means is that public transport serves high density areas in the center of the city. But when you get further away and there's less people become more dependent on their cars to get to work. And that's the reality of our last 100, 200 years of land use development. So what Caros does is we acknowledge the need that public transport, you know, high capacity trains or trams or buses cannot feasibly operate in these areas. So what we need to do is try to figure out how individuals can be more aware of their emissions and how can they can have less of a cost burden for getting to work. And so what Caros does is provides an AI solution that can help people to use carpooling as a form of public transport to get to work where public transport might not actually be able to do that job. So we were really lucky to discover Vitoria-Gasteiz, where there was a huge unmet, I guess, latent demand for this new form of public transport. And we were able to test the technology, test the solution, test the playbook for the first time in Spain for us. And we were met with some really fantastic results and a great community of people that were willing to try the solution and to lend the spare seats in their cars towards people that were trying to get to work.
Yeah, that sounds really good. Now I'm just thinking, it sounds really good in theory. How does it practically work? Can you kind of like, lay it out all on the table for us? Like how did you get people involved? What were the steps that were taken in the project?
Yeah, fantastic. Of course. So we partnered with the city and EIT Urban Mobility for a launch in around September last year, actually. And, you know, it was really interesting what Caros do is we commit to always having someone on ground, someone in the community, living there and working there to really understand what the network is, where people are going, how they get their news, how they communicate amongst one another, who the large employers were. And his job, Julien, was to do exactly that. So when we launched, we did a launch with the local government, with the mayor. We contacted local media. We had a few articles in the press. We had a few radio interviews. We visited a lot of the large employers in the region and essentially just told people that Caros is here. The solution is to help with carpooling. They should try download the app and see what happens. And you know, we saw a huge peak in registrations. But immediately, not that many trips. We saw a lot of registrations and it was building slowly. But then suddenly, we think around October, November time, it started to just catch on like wildfire. And when we spoke to users, we found that in Spain, it was a very communal area where one person might try it, they're a bit skeptical, but then they told a friend, they told their family member. And then suddenly we had more people signing in every day saying, oh, is there a carpool that I could take to work? Could it save me money? Is this person going the same way as me? And the app, in terms of scale inwardly, just built. So that's, I guess, a rough timeline, but maybe one you could add to a bit more of the back end for the city. And
yeah, Juan Carlos, maybe you can kind of elaborate on that, on kind of how the project went, any challenges that you saw along the way, and kind of the community receptiveness to the project.
Yeah, in our case, I think the main barrier probably was the lack of confidence on carpooling as a convenient alternative to the daily use of our private car. And what is the key to generate such a confidence in the selection probably was to have the enough critical mass of users and drivers. And for that, the policy of incentives could be the key. And we try to do as much as possible in order to incentivize the drivers and users to test the tool, to test the platform. And this way, it was possible to show the potential users about the capabilities, yes, because it was amazing how easy it was to find several matches for each of the three demand the people were introducing in the APP. I think that probably was the main challenge we have.
Yeah, Juan Carlos, can you elaborate a little bit more on which incentives you used? I think that would be really interesting for the listeners. What worked and what didn't work?
Yeah, there is the main incentive goes directly to the driver that is providing the car trip. And for instance, in our case, for the pilot, what it was established is that each driver will receive 1.5 euro per trip and per passenger. And at the same time, each passenger would pay 60 cents of euro to the driver per the trip. But what is true is that during the first weeks, it was established some incentives even for the passengers. For example, we signed agreements with different companies. And for those companies supporting us in the dissemination of the initiative, the passengers of the company using the platform of Caros, for them the trips were free at no cost as a way to incentivize the first trips to test the platform, and it was really a success.
Yeah, so monetary incentives worked well for you in that way, yeah? Cool, yeah, really interesting. Peter, I'm really interested to learn more about kind of what is the AI part of it? What AI technologies are really behind the carpooling app? Can you elaborate more on that?
Yeah, of course. So what Caros, by utilizing AI, provide a significant step change to what most people think of when they think of carpooling. So historically, carpooling, most people have had an experience with it. Most people think, okay, maybe when I was growing up, I would hitch a ride, or I would share a ride to a further city with a friend, and maybe they'd give me some cash and we'd have to organize the routes. And what Caros does is, instead of long-distance carpooling or one-off trips, we're trying to focus on daily commuting. But with this static form of carpooling, that would be an absolute nightmare for the individuals to be organizing on a weekly basis. They'd have to be thinking, okay, what's our route? Who do I match with? Do I have to find someone at work? And it becomes a lot of effort. And that's why carpooling historically has never really been a reliable modal choice that people could use. So by integrating AI, what we actually do is, rather than putting all the effort on the users to be finding their matches, to be organizing their trips, to planning the arrival time, the pickup time, the departure time, what the models do is, when you sign up into the app, you put in your home address, your work address, what time you need to be at work, what time you need to finish at work. And what the algorithms will do is, based off that, this is one of the matching algorithms, it will quantify and calibrate, okay, who might be taking that similar trip, and it will recommend for you a pickup location and a drop-off location that might work for that user, for that driver. And the driver will have a certain number of rules in terms of how much of a detour they can take, whether part of the trip might be part of public transport, and X, Y, Z. So the whole part of the AI is that it matches users, drivers, and passengers together, and decreases the strain on the drivers and passengers for organization, and automates the entire process from a static to a dynamic model.
Yeah, absolutely. Really interesting use of AI in that. And I'd be, yeah, really interested to learn more about the results in multiple of your pilots. Juan Carlos, I'm wondering, you mentioned that the community response was very positive. Can you maybe also talk about, were there concerns that people had? I mean, people are getting into people's cars that they don't know. Maybe like people do that anyways with taxi drivers and Uber drivers, right? Were there any additional concerns that people had? What really was the community response in total?
Yeah, there were some concerns regarding the lack of culture of sharing a car, and for instance, about the reliance of this selection. Because mm-hmm. what happens if suddenly I need to extend my work in the afternoon 1 hour more because I have a last time commitment and this kind of doubts, no?
Yeah.
And for that having so many matches. Because for many of the trips that are included in the platform, a user could have around 40 different options to choose. So this provides you a certain of confidence about if you are in a hurry and you have a problem and you need to change your timetable, you always will have the chance to find an alternative partner to do the return trip. So that probably was the main concern the people were telling us at the beginning.
Yeah, just the adaptability. But as there's more people joining, then that that concern goes way down, right? Because the options go up at the same time. Yeah, really interesting. Can you maybe also, Juan Carlos, maybe you can elaborate a little bit more on kind of the sustainability aspect? So you alluded to there being obviously big climate implications in utilizing this. Are you planning to integrate more of it into kind of your climate planning? What is your sustainability plans for this?
Well, the pilot has worked quite well here in Vitoria. We are having very good results because we have more than 1,300 people nowadays that have been registered, of which one-third of the people, around 400 people, are already sharing trips. And during the first 6 months, we have had around 26,000 trips validated by the platform, and that's more or less around 50 tons of CO2 emissions avoided. So, and that was one of the targets of the pilot, to show that it could be possible to optimize the use of the private car for commuting to work, because that is one of the actions we include in the sustainable mobility plan of the city, but not only in the mobility policies, but also as a city that is a member of the mission of smart cities, of carbon neutral cities of the European Commission. Within the climate city contract of the city, there are different pillars. One of these is the mobility pillar. And within the different actions we include in this pillar in the climate city contract, the exploration and testing different ways to access to the private car, not only using carpooling, but also the different kinds of car sharing alternatives, the peer-to-peer, the multi-proprietary, multi-owned cars, car sharing are really important, just because it's so stupid to live in a so compact city like Vitoria, because we are a 250,000 inhabitant city, but we have no metropolitan area. So all the people are living inside a 3 kilometers radius from the city center, and the city provides a huge offer of walking and cycling itineraries. It's a human scale city, and we have a nice public transport offer. But what is true is that we need to offer an alternative mode for those users. The public transport could not be a convenient alternative in terms of timetables, frequencies, itineraries, and in this way to contribute to a behavioral change aligned with our energy, climate actions, and mobility policies. And for commuting to the industrial areas that are surrounding the city, that could be a real alternative, but we should work deeply in trying to put off the second and the third car in many families, yeah, because many of the cars are retained just in case I need a car in 2 weeks time or something like that. So for that alternatives like car sharing here in Spain, we have not such a culture with car sharing like in many other countries. So there are many work to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. So this was a pilot, right? So are you planning to scale this up in the city? What are your plans for that?
Well, yes, we are nowadays trying to design what could be the extension of this initiative after this first pilot, and we are drafting what it could be an open tender in order to have a provider for this kind of service. And nowadays we are working apart from in the consolidation of this alternative, the carpooling. We are working in the definition of new pilots dealing with car sharing. For instance, why not to try to interconnect the energy communities that are nowadays being established in the city as a potential users to share a car? No, yes, because they agreed to start working together in producing energy, renewable energy, and why not they could be people really in favor in sharing a car or sharing a car sharing service, and that's are some of the pilots we are working now, trying to offer alternatives to the use of the private car, and to try to change the behavior of the people selecting in which way to move, not only to commute but for daily needs.
Yeah. I'll be really interested to continue to watch the space and see how you're integrating that more in the future. Peter, I know Carlos, I guess, is working across Europe, I think, in doing a lot of this. So what have you seen across the board from your experiences, and how are you planning to get this initiative into more cities?
Yeah, it's a great question. So Karos actually has been around for a little while, in a sense that we've hit the 7 million trip milestone relatively recently. We have over a million users, and although France is our biggest market, we're growing in Germany, and Spain was our first test pilot. We're also active in Denmark, and so Vitoria Gasteiz was our first pilot project in Spain, but we are definitely looking to expand across the Spanish market now that we have this proof of concept in Spain, and you know we fully adapted our product to be capable for the region in terms of language and all the back end logistics. Mm-hmm. So my role, we're very lucky in France to have been provided with one of the best environments for carpooling. And in 2019, the government invested 150 million euros into just carpooling alone, which is geared towards government projects, incentive budgets, and improvement of infrastructure. And France has some of the most advanced legislation in terms of commuting, where they put responsibility on the enterprises to provide and share in the cost of commuting for employers. So we've been very lucky to have been able to grow off the back of some really fantastic legislation in France. And we're trying to take these learnings from France, both politically and governance-wise, then also obviously technology and operations-wise into new countries. So now we're trying to work in Spain with local governments and transport authorities and even at the national level to share some learnings from France. And, you know, Spain are about to pass a new bill to help measure and enforce some requirements on employers to monitor their employees' emissions and how they're getting to work. And that's a fantastic step change. And we're looking to replicate this at the European level as well, which will be fantastic for Garros. Emissions from transport account for one of the most largest contributing sectors to global emissions, and commuting alone is a significant portion of that. So the role that Carros can play, I think, is significant in expanding across Europe and hopefully globally.
Yeah, what cultural differences have you come across? I'm quite curious because I think of, you mentioned, you know, Germany versus Spain. I'm actually sitting here in Stuttgart, Germany. And I have the feeling that in Spain, it's kind of more open, maybe even for like bringing random people, let's say, into your car. Or I don't know what your experiences have been like culturally.
Yeah, there are definitely always cultural nuances that we have to be aware of. I think sometimes the Spanish are known for being more communal and being more open. And Vitoria Gasteiz provided, you know, a fantastic pilot city. In a sense, you know, there are a lot of, you know, communal neighborhoods, and people are very open and interested in sharing and meeting one another. France is maybe a middle ground, and you know, we're also operating in Denmark and Germany, where you know, perhaps that initial hesitation to think, oh, do I want to share my car, or do I want to try carpooling? Maybe they're a bit more comfortable with their own private car, with their own music and their own silence on the way to work. But often we find that after people try it the first time or the first two or three times, they become very open to it in the future. And I think it's not too dissimilar to, you know, people catching a train or a bus, but, you know, an entire carriage is full in that regard. I think with the private car, people feel like it's their safe space, but in reality, it's maybe only one or two other people. And it's actually usually a very enjoyable experience across cultures.
Yeah, really interesting to see those differences. I'd like to give at the end of this main interview part a little bit of an open floor for you if you'd like to take it. You don't have to, but I want to give you space in case we didn't mention something that you think is really important to mention about the project that you really want the listeners to know about. Is there anything on your side, Juan Carlos, that you think is really important to mention that would help the listeners either replicate or take learnings from this experience or anything else?
Yes, first of all, I would like to thank the EIT Urban Mobility and Carlos for the support in this pilot implementation. And I would like to highlight that our mobility and climate strategies are really committed to optimize the use of cars by enabling multiple alternatives to the owned car, carpooling, mm-hmm. car sharing, peer-to-peer car sharing, and we are on the way to continue with other pilots in this path. We are drafting a local strategy, as I stated before, on car sharing and carpooling. We are having more and more data about how the pilot is going on, and using these KPIs to draft the next steps. And we would like to engage also in the initiative for the next steps, the companies, no, in supporting the initiative to get public grants by the Spanish government and by the regional government. Let's see if we succeed, because it's needed to engage more and more stakeholders in the initiative. Let's see, because we are trying also to apply some of the insights coming from the experience in France. We are trying to test if it could be possible, for instance, to use the energy efficiency credits by the central government to fund the initiative. Yeah. France, it's a huge academy to learn about the potential of car sharing, because probably it's the leading country in terms of promotion of this kind of platforms. I think they have more than nearly 30 platforms now. They're working with nearly 40,000 journeys a day. So there is a lot of to be learned from the French experience, and we would like to continue working in this way.
Yeah, really good words there. Peter, did you have anything else that you wanted to mention?
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's definitely along the lines of Juan Carlos's message. I think one of the main reasons for the success of this pilot project was being able to identify really motivated and supportive government bodies that we could work with. And I think having the support of Juan Carlos and the city, and through the support of VIT Urban Mobility, has been incredibly instrumental in the success of this project, not just for connections with the community or connections with the media, but for recognizing that, I guess, what Carlos is trying to do is innovative, and it is a big step change on public transport. What we're trying to do is redefine public transport in itself. It provides a fantastic opportunities for governments to invest comparatively a very small amount of money to what bus networks or rail networks might cost, and to still serve a very large portion of the community to help create more equitable and sustainable societies. And, you know, the government partnership with Juan Carlos and with EIT Mobility was a fantastic example of, you know, how innovative teams can sort of work together and have a great impact without needing to spend millions of dollars over a 5-year period. It could happen quickly, and it has, and we're really looking forward to replicating this across Spain and the rest of Europe.
Yeah, really excited to see how this goes. And of course, we will link also to the full use case in the show notes in case any of the listeners, you want to check out more details about the use case also in written form. Now we get to move on to our fun segment. The segment that we have chosen for you today is called Freaky Friday. Freaky Friday. Switch places with your co-interviewee and answer a few questions in their shoes. So, Peter, you are now Juan Carlos. Juan Carlos, you are now Peter. So, yeah, do a little, I don't know, switcheroo in your head. good. So now you've switched places and lives. So, Peter, you now work in the public sector, and Juan Carlos in the private sector. now speaking to the new Peter, what would be the most challenging thing for you now working in the private sector?
Yeah, what was difficult was to start working with a new city. Working with a new city with new culture, it's really always challenging. But what is true is that having Vitoria as a pilot, I think was a nice example and a nice challenge to try to design what could be the deployment of our product in a new market like Spain.
Yeah, very good. Very good perspective. Yeah, perfect. Now, new Juan Carlos, what do you think is the most challenging thing now working as part of the public sector in this collaboration?
Yeah, I guess working in the public sector provides a fantastic opportunity to have real impact on communities and society. However, in doing that, we're using public funds. And in using public funds means that we have a lot of process and a lot of bureaucracy in terms of starting projects and reasonable timelines and reaching consensus amongst our local governments and our state governments and our national governments. And these can sometimes present hurdles and curveballs. But in navigating this legislation, it might not be 20, 30 projects a year, but it might be a handful of really high quality ones that we have to be patient with. But finding mechanisms and opportunities like EIT over mobility or startups that can be a bit more nimble provide a great opportunity to test projects, to test pilots, and have impact faster than sometimes the larger scale projects might.
Yes, very good, very good. How now you can switch back. You can be yourself again. You can switch back. Now, how did they do? What do you think? Was it accurate?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it was great.
Accurate representations of your challenges. Yeah, I agree. Good. Now we get to the final question. It's the question that we ask every single guest. And I'll start with you, Peter, and then you can elaborate, Juan Carlos. To you, what is a smart city?
Fantastic. Me? Starting with me?
Yeah. Yes. Now you're Peter again. Yeah.
I'm Peter again. Okay. Yeah. What is a smart city? I think a smart city is one that is learning how to use technology in the right way to make their community and their city, in terms of how it moves, how it feels, and how it looks, to be more sustainable and to be more equitable. One that serves people with technology, with purpose, not just for the sake of it.
Very good. Juan Carlos, do you agree? Do you want to elaborate any more on what is your concept of a smart city?
That's more or less the same. And I think a smart city would be a city that is more efficient in the management of the resources, that works to reduce the footprint, and its contribution to the climate change, to become more inclusive, more resilient to the uncertainties of the global crisis. In short, a city that works every day towards a more sustainable future, and of course, using an increasing efficient, smart exercise and operation. But in any case, it's also important, I think, not to miss what is the point, that building a smart city should not be placed ahead of the goal of creating a livable city, as it sometimes perceived, because technology should be an instrument, not an end in itself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a theme that I hear oftentimes, and we certainly agree with as well, that it's a tool to use and not the ends of the ends to the means. Yeah, the means to the ends. I got the phrase confused for sure, but wonderful having you all here today. That's all I have for you. So thank you so much for coming on the show. I really, really thought that the project was an interesting look into how we can better equitably change how we're moving around cities. So thank you so much for sharing that perspective. Would love to have you on anytime. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I thank you a lot for the conversation. Thank you for this invitation.
Yeah, thanks for having us and for facilitating the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And to all of our listeners, thank you as well. And don't forget, you can always create a free account on babel-smartcities.eu. You can find out more about smart city projects like this one, solutions and other implementations. So thank you very much. Thank you all for listening. I'll see you at the next stop on the journey to a better urban life.